businesses running and communities strong.
Farmers, are you looking for a change of pace or supplemental income? Have you considered becoming a full-time or seasonal truck driver? Many farmers have done it already, and Schneider is hiring truck drivers now throughout Illinois, Iowa, and Wisconsin. Schneider has led the trucking industry for 80 years, and we offer a wide variety of freight and home time options to meet your needs. Learn more, try a quick zip code search, and apply to become a Schneider truck driver at schneiderjobs.com. That's schneiderjobs.com.
45 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock, 15 minutes until the next hour. Works out pretty well that way. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein, in the studio, along with civil rights leader and our friend, Mill Thompson. And he is the host of the interview show on Channel 11, the PBS TV show in Chicago. Please welcome back to your radio friend, Mr. Mark Baser. Mark!
How are you?
I have no complaints, sir, but thank you for caring enough to ask. How are you?
I'm good. I have to say, I don't know if I'm the best person to be on a radio show today because I was just on vacation and I took a break from the news. And I know there's been a lot of news going on in your parts, but it's been a bad summer of news, I felt. So I took 5 days. I took a road trip with my younger son and purposely stayed away from all news. So. Other than the radio on the way into work today.
Where did you go on vacation?
We went, of all places, to Pittsburgh. I have a 5-year-old who, because he's a contrarian, decided not to like any sports teams that I like or my older son likes, and somehow, I don't know how, chose Pittsburgh as his teams to root for. So we made a journey to a Pirates game. That was the plan. It was just me and him. It was the first time. It was probably like the first time I've ever spent that much time with just him. He's the younger kid, so he gets the total raw end of the deal in terms of never had tons of alone time with the parents. And so this was a special trip that involved us taking a road trip to Pittsburgh and going to a game and getting into lots of fights.
What's his name?
His name is Theo.
Theo, and Theo is what number in the birth order?
He's second and last. Okay. And so he's 5 years younger than the older kid. So he spends his life being brought around from one older event, like a, whether the older kid's in a play or playing a baseball game or playing a soccer game. Like, that's Theo's lot in life. It's changing now, because now he's got some of his own stuff going on, but, for the first 5 years of his life, it's been, all right, we're going to Saul's thing, come on, And I'm an older kid, so I don't know that. Like, I just know Saul's lot in life, which has its own, older kids have their own share of things that they don't get to do, but Theo, and Theo has taken the contrarian younger kid streak to, like, an all-time high, I feel. Like, to the point where, he actively roots against any, when it comes to sports, he actively roots against any team I'm rooting for. Like, and rubs it in my face when the team loses. So somehow we've bonded over, of all places, a place I've never even been to before, Pittsburgh, which was really nice. I really liked it. I'm glad he introduced Pittsburgh into my life.
Pittsburgh has done a nice job renovating themselves and reinventing themselves. When the steel industry cratered. And, of course, PNC Ballpark in Pittsburgh is beautiful.
It's amazing. I think I would put it up there. I'd put it right below Wrigley, to tell you the truth. Like, Wrigley, I think, is probably the nicest, but PNC was right there.
Well, I was at Wrigley Field on Thursday night when the Cubs beat the Cardinals in 11 innings. It was, at night, with the heat index, 94 degrees. We sweated through our clothes, but I sat next to another 5-year-old at his first game ever, Joffy.
Huh.
And he was there with his mom and his grandma. I had Joffy at his first game to my left with his mother and his grandmother, and to my right, I had Craig and Patrick. Patrick, a 16-year-old baseball player from the St. Louis area. It was his birthday. And so for his birthday, his dad took him to Wrigley.
Right.
It was very cool. And so I'm.
Did you know these people?
No. I had two tickets, and I was looking for a date for my second ticket, and I could not find it. It's a great story, but I'll tell it another time.
Well, thanks for the call.
Yeah.
thanks for inviting me. I mean,
next time.
Big deal. I was in Pittsburgh. So.
You were in Pittsburgh cheering on the Pirates. So here's the thing about, I've got six kids, and I understand the parenting thing. Of course, I had a great time. I got a teenager to my right, a five-year-old to my left at his first game. It was fantastic. But the second born typically is, if they are not a contrarian, they are definitely the opposite personality of the first born.
Yeah.
And when I had our second born, we had Joseph, who was born on the Chicago Bears Super Bowl, the one Super Bowl that the Bears won. And
yeah.
I'm a lifelong Bears fan. My dad used to stand up at Wrigley Field watching the Bears. So it's in my blood, and it was in Joe's blood, and he was born on the one Super Bowl Sunday that the Bears were there and won against the New England Patriots. So here comes
Jake. Which means you didn't get to watch the game.
Well, actually, that's true. I was watching it as Dawn and I were walking.
Unless you're a total jerk.
I was.
And you're like, sorry, honey.
I wasn't a total jerk. I was a little bit
of
a jerk.
Have fun. I get the guys over.
Well, here's what happened.
Let me know if it's a boy or a girl, all right?
Dawn was in labor for 40 hours at St. Mary's Hospital in Rhinelander. And so they want you to move things along. So we were walking.
Hours. How many points did the Bears score that day?
46 points against the Patriots, I believe.
So she had six more to...
Correct.
4 hours to go.
It was a blowout, fortunately. But as we're walking through the hallways, I was peeking through the other people's doorways to see what the score was. And, you know, I was getting elbowed plenty from the soon-to-be mother of Joseph. So here comes Jacob. And as soon as he could recognize that we were Bears fans, of course he became a Packer fan. But I knew, what he was up to. And I would not give him the satisfaction of cheering against the Packers. And it just worked out perfectly because those early years, the Bears were great and the Packers stunk. And then it flipped and the Packers became really good and the Bears stunk. So there really wasn't that much of a conflict. And now, believe it or not, if it doesn't affect the Packers directly, Jacob cheers for the Bears and we cheer for the Packers if it doesn't directly affect the Bears. So
he is stuck with the Packers.
Well, he's not stuck. He's actually now a Packers shareholder. My dad bought him two shares.
Well, I don't mean stuck. Like I mean, he's stuck with it. Like
Oh no,
He didn't say, "Oh, Dad, I'm sorry. I was just a rebel, and you know, let's go to Dicka's and hug." He's stuck.
No, he's a Packer fanatic, even though he lives in San Diego. He's such a Packer fanatic that when we used to live in Tampa. We would go to the games of the Old Sombrero where the Buccaneers played, and even if the Bucs weren't playing the Packers, he still would wear his cheese head just to represent. And he got a lot of attention for that. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN's Community Conversation. We are talking with Mark Baser. He is the host of the interview show on Channel 11 in Chicago. So we've got, you know, obviously a very contentious and strife-filled situation here in the Milwaukee area this morning, coming out of the violence over the weekend. On a show like yours, when there is crisis and when there is tragedy, and it's usually your show's in a bar, it's a lighthearted show. You're really interested in focusing on the people. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, I guess I think the best shows, like what I've seen and heard from your show, balance. You know, I think the best conversations are similar to conversations you'd have in life. So if you're hanging out after your radio show with your friends or your family, there's a good chance that you'll talk about what's going on with the news, and especially what's going on right now in Milwaukee in your home. But then you're going to probably also be at lunch telling jokes. I mean, that might not about that situation, but about just life, or just talking about your kids, or what they're doing, or talking about baseball, or whatever. So, I mean, that obviously depends on how big the story is, or how big the situation is, and how much directly impacts you. But I think the best conversations in a entertainment setting, when you're having a conversation like this, there's something real about it, but there's also something fake about it. I mean, it's not especially if, like in my thing, we're on a stage at a bar. So there's something that's heightened about it and something that can't be real. It can't be, last night I'm sitting with a friend on my back porch having a beer. Like, that's a real conversation. That is, so can you get as close to that as possible, but also up the showbiz aspect of it as well? And if it's real and it's authentic, you'll deal with both, right? You'll have both. So I don't shy away from it. I don't know. I mean, you know, I got a show on September 2nd. Like, how much will we talk about, I don't know what will be in the news then, but the election will be in the news. So how much will we talk about the election? How much will we just talk about people's lives? I guess it just, hopefully it'll go the way, like I said, like a real conversation would go. Like, you don't know what you're going to talk about next.
Your show is on public television, which is obviously somewhat different than being on commercial television. How much more freedom
just
do you
just in terms of how much I get paid.
Very good point. How much more freedom do you think you have not to have to take the commercial interest so much of the station that you're on into consideration?
Yeah, that's definitely true. But I think it works. It can work for you and it can work against you. So not that if I'm talking about, let's say I felt like I had to kowtow to some corporate interest, that might be bad. I wouldn't want that, but that's the reality I guess a lot of people face. On the other hand, you know, sometimes I feel like it can hurt you. You can get too esoteric. You can get too talking about stuff that people are just going to turn off. It might be what you're interested in, but that doesn't mean that you might just go down a rabbit hole. Like, let's say I had I'll take the absolute extreme example. Let's say I really liked alternative cartooning, and I had an alternative cartoonist on, and the alternative cartoonist was talking about, you know, his latest graphic novel that sold 50 copies. And I think it's brilliant, and I think it deserves, you know, a place on the show, and we're talking about it, and I'm loving the conversation, but I also have to recognize that most 99% of the people might click off. They might say this is boring. Whereas maybe if you have to answer to commercial interest would say, hey, look at, we got these ratings. They're called ratings, and we can measure the fact that nobody is watching your show. So maybe that helps you.
How much are you into alternative cartoons?
I'm not.
You're not?
I'm not.
But how
I mean, I'm not against them. I'm not anti. Like, I won't walk away if they're in front of me.
Of all the weird topics that you could have used as an example, why did you use alternative cartoons, do you think?
I chose it because I did have, there is a pretty good scene in Chicago for alternative cartooning, and I have a couple guests, and they're super interesting people, but they've chosen alternative cartooning for a reason, because I think they're more inside of themselves, more insular, more shy, and so those have probably been the conversations that I think I have to probably work the hardest to get something out of it, and then hopefully I get something great out of it. But it's not like you have somebody who, you know, if I had you on and you came on, and I probably could just say why. That would be my only question, and you would just go, whereas that's not the case for the alternative cartooning world.
If you would ask me why on your program, my answer would be, why not?
But then you wouldn't be able to stop talking. I mean, not nothing against you. That would be a good thing for me.
He is Mark Baser. He is the host of The Interview Show. It premieres September 3rd on Channel 11 in Chicago. Who you've got as guests?
Well, that's September 2nd. That's just a live taping. So if you want to come to a taping, and we'll air it later. Who do we have? We have Robbie Foulkes. Do you know who he is?
No.
He's a country musician on Bloodshot Records, which is a great Chicago record label. And he's like country and kind of the, like, old Hank Williams, not Hank Williams Jr., but the old Hank Williams tradition. He's probably the star of the show. He's a genius. I mean, he is legitimately a genius. Like, he can play music in any genre and play it well and write really funny and clever lyrics, but country is kind of his his milieu. So he's going to be great. We're having a barbecue. It's a barbecue show, too. It's actually a benefit for an organization in Chicago called Pilot Light that is run by a couple of pretty well-known chefs, and they bring food education into Chicago public schools in a way that makes kids not hate broccoli, I guess is the best way to put it.
Well, that should be a very eclectic show. You've got old-school country music and barbecue. You can't beat that.
Yeah, they fit together, I think.
He's Mark Baser, just back from vacation with Theo from Pittsburgh, PA. He's also the father of Saul, and Saul's baseball coach. So how'd we do?
They won their last tournament. They went barnstorming up to Franklin over in your area, and I don't know if you know this place called The Rock. It's like the nicest youth baseball. There's also adult baseball fields there, but it's the nicest youth baseball field I've ever set foot on. And there's like five or four youth fields, and they're all kind of modeled after real professional fields. I don't know if they get the, like, there's like a Fenway, and Fenway has like a Green Monster. And there is just amazing. And we've gotten to the championship. We played a team from Franklin actually in the championship. And usually the games are six innings, and this one went nine innings, and it was a 2-1 game. So
wow.
It was honest, like, no joke. And my wife turned to me afterwards. My wife's not a big baseball fan. And we went to the Brewers game the day before, which was fun. It was a great game, and we were all there. There was 44 of us, like the kids and the parents and the siblings. And then we watched the next game, and she said, "I have to tell you, Mark, youth baseball is more exciting than Major League Baseball." And she had a vested interest. She's got her son in the game.
Exactly.
But there is something to what she said.
So did you take the kids out for ice cream after the big win or anything like that?
No, we went. You know, we did. We went to A&W on the way home.
There you go.
I love the A&W.
So little root beer float or something?
We got floats. Absolutely.
All right. Well, the next time I get Cubs tickets, you're my first call.
Unbelievable! I can't find anybody. I was with Theo. I was arguing with Theo over the merits of the Pittsburgh versus Chicago tips.
Well, thanks a lot, and I just might have to make that trip, especially for the barbecue.
Come out. I'm telling you, this barbecue is going to be amazing. Like, these guys, like, it's not like me at the grill overcooking chicken because I'm afraid of salmonella. Like, it's the real deal.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you again next month. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, a Magnum.media station.
After WRJN covers the world, we will return to our community conversation with Milton Thompson coming up next on Your Radio Friend.
Floods flow downhill. More California fire damage. I'm Evan Haining. Flooding in the Gulf has displaced tens of thousands of people and destroyed